Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, September 24th, 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Michael Wenzel from Trinity Lutheran Church in Olympia, Washington. Good morning, Pastor Wenzel. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Andy. Very well.
Good, good. Thanks for being our guest pastor and helping us study the daily New Testament reading today. Tell us about Trinity Lutheran Church in Olympia, Washington.
Trinity Lutheran Church is a little downtown church, literally at the southernmost point of Puget Sound. We've been here over 100 years. Nice community, loving people. Just like all God's people everywhere, we look to seek and serve Him in what we do and how we live and what we say.
Well, very good. Glad that you're there delivering God's good gifts. We are taking a look at 1 Timothy today, chapter 6, verses 3 through 21. Any background or context you want us to understand before we go into the text?
I don't know that there would be anything exceptional. Paul speaking to Timothy, his son in the faith, giving direction as to how people should go forward and understand this word from God that is so important to each and every one of us.
Very good. We are studying 1 Timothy chapter 6 today with Pastor Wenzel from Trinity Lutheran Church in Olympia, Washington. If you have questions or comments, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us, kfuo at kfuo.org, as we are digging into our study of 1 Timothy chapter 6 today. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. So if anyone, back to verse 3, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he's puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. Pastor?
Oh, how often do we hear this way of the world kind of action or activity? God has been very gracious to us with his word and truth. If we hear something other than what he directs and gives to us in his word, as it says, we should be paying more attention to what he has to say than what the world around us says. You think about advertising, you think about television, you think about news radios and ads, and that it's all about me attitude.
Mm-hmm.
It would be real easy to be turned away from what God has given us, that we might follow his path, and to turn to self-satisfaction, self-aggrandizement, if you will. Real hard with that big, active, vocal, very loud voice in the world around us, sometimes to keep our eyes turned to the author and perfecter of our faith.
Verse 4, the second half of verse 4, he has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in the mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain.
When's the last time you were at an active debate where you had people wanting to put forward their ideas, their impressions, and the only thing that mattered was that they would win this discussion and argument? I don't quite know what to say about that other than unhealthy controversy or craving for controversy, almost as if the form was more important than the content.
there's room. I think there's room in our lives, and certainly from scriptures for discussion, where we actually have a desire to learn as we discuss, and when we leave room for to learn. But when we enter into a conversation where we insist that we have nothing to learn but only something to teach, then perhaps, well, then we have this unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, and evil suspicions and constant friction.
And I agree with you completely. We are to ask those questions of the faith, to be brought into the knowledge and family of God. Some of our best conversations, some of our best studies come when you have that one person in the back of the room timidly waiting to put their hand up and saying, should I say something or should I not? Mm-hmm. And more often than not, the questions that come up out of those people speaking are questions that everyone have, and just makes for a wonderful discussion and an opportunity to lay God's word out and share one with the other. Sure would be nice if we could treat each other in a loving and God-pleasing manner when we ask those questions. And I think that's where that business with craving for controversy or maybe for self-aggrandizement, mm-hmm. And we need to be careful that that doesn't take over, take control. We do well when we hear God's word and take it to heart and listen and obey it.
If we're puffed up with conceit and understand nothing, we're coming at it only for a fight. We're not really it's for a, you know, a quarrel about words, and there's nothing really good that's going to come out of that.
Any self-aggrandizement like that, where mm-hmm. God is not the center of our life and heart, we're taking a step in the wrong direction. There's a difference between putting it forward for the benefit of learning and sharing. But boy, we should go down the wrong path when we start thinking, well, what's in it for me, or how can I show off with what I know? If we mean for godliness to be a means of our own personal gain, then we're not doing it for the right reason, and we fail. I don't know if you want to jump back into the continuing on with this a little bit. In verse 6, it says, now there is a great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world.
And there's the reality check, right?
Yes, indeed. And very simply, Paul says, if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. And then we come up to that nugget that we find in here, that gospel message. With these we will be content, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. We need to watch very carefully that our eyes are turned to God. It's so easy to get sidetracked these days. So many things seeking to draw our attention away from that life and path that our Lord has chosen for us as his children to follow.
Going back to verse 6, but godliness with great contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. When we understand rightly who we are before God, when we understand, when there is this humility, when we understand who we are before God, when we can take that same humility into our relationships with our neighbor, then we can so much more can come out of it. You know, if verses 6 and 7, I see this godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into the world. We cannot take anything out of it. I see humility in that. We didn't bring anything into this world. We can't take anything out of it. But who we are before God. This is humility, in my opinion. But if we can take that same humility into our conversations with our brothers and sisters, what a difference that can make. If we come into a conversation with our brothers and sisters thinking that we're bringing a whole bunch into it, or that we're going to take a whole bunch out of it, there's no humility there. There's no contentment as well. When we interact with our brothers and sisters being content with what God has given us, that changes how we interact with them, doesn't it?
It does. And as we remember and recall that we follow a Lord and Master who came to serve rather than be served, He has given us this model to follow. What is important in this life? To love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your strength, and then also to love your neighbor as yourself. We would be well to listen to these words and remember the God of in his great humility who gave up his life, Jesus Christ, on the cross for us, that we might have truth and life and a way to the Father. Just a wonderful place for us to be. And it is right. It's good. It's a thing for us to be working on that reality check, not once a while or not even once a week, but every day at least, more often, because God has directed us to follow him. And as he serves, so too should we serve.
Verses 8 and following, but if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Now, verse 10, I think, is often misquoted, isn't it?
I think you're right. Of course, you know, money in and of itself is not a sinful thing or an evil thing. Again, but when we deal with this thought of idolatry, you know, when something takes God's place, you know, in the center of our lives, at that point we're off the path and walking the wrong way. And there are a lot of opportunities that the world places before our eyes for us to be turned away. That smooth-looking curve on that sports car that we know we're not going to be able to afford, but would really like to have, when you let that temptation creep into your life and take over, you know, we're not doing very well. We're lost at that point just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you read that sentence, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It's not saying that that's the only root of evil. It's just... and in as of itself, in anything else, if we allow that to take God's place in our heart, in the center, you know, we're going to be in trouble. Craving, not hard to be in a place where you get all these visual images or those chords that strike your heart saying, well, you know, this is for you. You can have this. All you need to do is be focused on it, and if you seek to accomplish this, you can have it. Looking to mislead God's people through advertisement, through all those other things. I'm not saying advertisement is bad either, by the way. There is a need for us to know what's out there in the world. It's just that thing called temptation and sin can grab a hold of us in very short order, kind of sneak in the back door. And that's why we are to constantly renew our hearts in the message and the Word of God, and to examine ourselves and to look to understand what it means to be a child of God, living in a world that we live in but is not really our home.
Absolutely. Let's go to the listener lines. Let's go to Mike here in St. Louis. Good morning, Mike.
How you guys doing?
Good. What's your question this morning, Mike?
Yeah, you know, the first verses you read about that antagonistic person.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't the person he's probably really talking about is when he was Saul?
Oh, interesting question. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for your call. Pastor, do you think that Paul is referring to his former life in these comments here as he's talking about this antagonistic person, as Mike said?
Well, you know, he was an antagonistic person before the Lord spoke to him and changed his direction and heart. I guess anything's possible. it would be an example of something that might, that he might be considering. He knew what he was talking about. I don't think there's anything that specifically says that that's what he had in mind when he was writing this. Remember, these words to Timothy are words of instruction, mm-hmm. That Timothy might be an effective leader and under-shepherd of the Lord, and to train him in the path that he needs to go while he's leading God's people. I don't know that there would be anything more to it than that.
Sure. Nothing specifically that says that it is about him as Saul, but it certainly doesn't mean that it couldn't include him in that.
An example for us to consider, yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Standard, if you will.
We are studying 1 Timothy today, chapter 6, verses 3 through 21, with Reverend Michael Wenzel from Trinity Lutheran Church in Olympia, Washington. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying the text. If you have questions or comments, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Stick around. We'll be back in just a minute.
Following the National March for Life, join LCMS Life Ministry beginning January 22nd for 3 days at the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, Theological Motivation, Practical Know-How, and Valuable Time with Lutheran pro-lifers from across the country. Speakers will encourage you in advocating for life through your vocation as a Christian citizen to stand for those who will never take their first steps. LCMS.org/life or 314-996-1711.
Did you know that more than 38 million people in America speak Spanish? You can share the gospel with them in their own language using a new resource from Lutheran Heritage Foundation, the Spanish Bible with Small Catechism. Like all the books LHF translates and publishes, the Spanish Bible is available at no cost to the people and ministries who need them. LHF 800-554-0723 or visit lhfmissions.org.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Michael Wenzel from Trinity Lutheran Church in Olympia, Washington. We're at 1 Timothy chapter 6 today, looking at verses 3 through 21. It is about time for us to move on to verse 11. Before we go on to verse 11, Pastor, is there anything else about the up through verse 10 that you wanted, any other comments you wanted to make?
Probably not for the verses that we just finished, but maybe to consider that we see Paul laying out before us the standard as we go into the rest of the chapter here. We've been given the reality check, and now we're going to be hearing some instruction for how Paul would have us live as children of God.
Very good. Verse 11. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. All right, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness, he says. Pastor?
The first word that comes to my mind is wow, and thank you, God, for the direction that we hear through Paul. I said it before just a few moments ago, we are living in this world, but we are not of this world. Our heart, our life, our direction in God takes us to be prepared, in service, to speak his word to others. But as we're doing that in ourselves internally, we are to flee those things that detract us and send us away from God. Flee these things, all those things that were mentioned, idolatry, ways of the world, puffing ourselves up, seeking the words of a false teacher, someone who is not speaking the word of God. Paul says there's a better way for us to live as God's children, to pursue this righteousness, godliness, faith, all these words, all these things that, we can be and are in the Lord, to practice faith, to practice love, to practice steadfastness and gentleness. Long list, but to have that internal peace that passes understanding, to know that we walk on the path that God has prepared for us, to fight that good fight of the faith. There's one for you. How long does it take for us to fight that good fight of the faith? You can make a big case for it. That's a lifelong ambition in service to God.
Take hold.
And if it were me, I would just jump into the next verse or two. It talks about taking hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession. We are called to that gift of eternal life, and it is ours both now and for in the future. It's not something that's going to be a reward or something that we get or gain because of what we do in this life, but rather what we receive as that free gift from God for those who know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and call on his name. Take hold of eternal life. And to be prepared to make that good confession in the presence of many witnesses, how difficult it can be in a politically correct world to speak the truth of God to the neighbors and those people around us.
Let's go to the listener lines again. Let's go to Cheryl in Indianapolis. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Every time I hear verses 12 to 14, I remember my dad. It was his confirmation verse, and in 1925, and in 2007, we used it at his funeral, and he had 97 years to fight the good fight of the faith. And this, all those verses that reminded me of the reason that Christ Jesus appeared, like it says in 1 John 3, verse 8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And that is something I is just grateful for that. I'm grateful that we have confirmation verses that can kind of stay with us. And mine was Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to all those who call upon him in truth. And that keeps reminding me, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and he is the only way to come to the Father. So.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for sharing that, Cheryl. Thanks so much for your call.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Pastor, a question that comes to mind that, as Cheryl was talking, that I thought of, fight the good fight of the faith. Now, she mentioned that, you know, Jesus came and conquered sin, death, and the devil. If Jesus conquered sin, death, and the devil, why do we have to fight a good fight? What does it mean to fight the good fight of the faith?
Oh, what does it mean to fight the good fight of the faith? Well, there is this thing called temptation that comes into our lives, and the devil has not stopped actively seeking to take people away from God with temptation and sin. God has not promised us a bed of roses and an easy, straightforward path. He says that temptation will come, and as we are faced with that temptation, in our heart of hearts, knowing that our Lord and Savior has led us in the path that he has chosen and has for us the absolute best in mind for us, for our future, and for our life in him, sometimes we're going to have to fight that fight, and we're going to have to think, well, what is it that God has said to me? What are his laws, those Ten Commandments that I must follow, that I know I can't because I'm not perfect? But the Lord has given us this gift of life. He has won it for us through his death on the cross, his time in the tomb, his resurrection, is going to be with the Father. And there is such great comfort in those words. As he too has arisen, so too shall we rise, as his children, as his family, as those who know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and call on his name. Life will be difficult at times, and it will pull at our heart. But God has promised us that he will always be there, and that he will walk alongside of us, and that he has given us his word, his truth, and his life. And in these things, we are called to persevere in the faith and the understanding of who he is and who we are in him.
Verse 13, I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ.
I see this command that we have from God. I charge you in the presence of God, the Creator who gives life to all things, Creator was my word, of course, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, that confession being to make it known that he was the Son of God, and that, as we understand it, to be the way, the truth, and the life, and to be here because of, through that gift of love, he has come to allow us to be his children and to be in his kingdom, and to serve him and to seek that gift of life, which is ours as a free gift from God. That good confession, sometimes that can be very difficult. And, you know, as we are law and gospel-oriented and minded, we know that God has given us his law to follow, and that in our sin, and, you know, both our inherent sinful nature and the sin we commit, there's no way we can keep those laws, but God's love carries us and allows us to know the truth and to just keep moving forward, to continually be working on making that good confession of the faith.
Which he will display at the proper time, he who is the blessed and only sovereign king, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen.
Yay. That's the first word that comes to my mind, the sovereignty of God. Who can we depend on in this life? Who is always going to be speaking to us the truth? Who is always going to be sharing his heart and leading us along that we might follow where he has gone. What great comfort these words give. I officiated at a funeral service just this past week for a man who truly was one of God's children, a saint of God. There was sadness, yes, but there was also great joy in the fact that this man, as well as all those who know and believe in Jesus Christ, have this promise of the gift of eternal life, to be in God's house. How can anyone be in a better place than that? I just can't see anything else more important than that.
In verse 16, we see this phrase, whom no one has ever seen or can see, describing God. Jesus walked on the earth. People saw Jesus, who was true God and true man. There is a group, I want to say, might be Jehovah's Witnesses, who say that because of this, if no one has ever seen God or can see God, then Jesus wasn't really God.
There are many places in the Bible that discusses faith. And how can you have faith in something that you can see? There was that, the gift of the heart, the gift of life. We have faith, that free gift from God, that directs us, molds us, guides us, prepares us to be followers of God. more often than not, I say it many times, you get down to the bottom line, and we have to remember that we do nothing in this whole process, and God does everything. He gives us faith. He gives us hope. He puts forward this gift of life to us, to all those who believe in Him, in Jesus Christ, and call on His name as Savior and Lord. As we depend in the sovereignty of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, recall that He is all-powerful, all-knowledgeable, all those omniscience that we learn. We cannot and will not see Him this side of heaven, but we trust in the faith and the promise that He has made to us as His children. When times get rough, when the road gets dark and bumpy, to know that God walks with me makes all the difference in the world and beyond. To Him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. To be able to live in that truth, to be confident, to trust in what God has given us, it just means everything.
Verse 17, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Okay, so if I'm wealthy, if I have lots of money, I can do good works, and that will store up some treasure for me in heaven, right?
Oh, thank you for trying to trip me up with that. It's all a matter of the heart. We remember that anyone can do a good thing or give stuff or look for the betterment of someone else. But if the Holy Spirit is not involved in that process, and the Holy Spirit is not there, and you're not walking with God, trying to trip me up in this works righteousness thing that we can earn our way to heaven isn't going to happen. God loves us doing good works.
Mm-hmm.
He loves us caring for our neighbor. But when it comes to the point of whether or not we can use that to earn our way into heaven, we very certainly cannot do that. That has got to be a gift from God. And it is not something that we can do. You know, I cannot by my own reason or strength know the Lord or come to Him. That explanation to the third petition. But He does appreciate, He does love our good works. That selfless, serving, servant attitude. And yes, if you have a lot of stuff, wealth, riches, we have to remember that it doesn't really belong to us. You know, it does belong to God, and He gave it to us for a purpose, and that purpose is to serve Him. In your heart of hearts, as you know the Lord and seek His face, He just intends for you to use everything that you have to bring Him honor in everything that we do. It's great to be generous. You share what you have. That we may take hold of that which is truly life. This physical aspect of our life is very finite. And the Christian doesn't look just to today, but is aware of that reality, that eternity, as we live in eternity, this is just one aspect of our total life in Christ.
Verse 17, the last part of verse 17, God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. So if there's any good that we can do, it all starts with Him, as He
always
provides.
Has, always will.
Mm-hmm.
How often do we get not just our needs met, but often so much more?
Mm-hmm.
in that great abundance that God has given to us, it is appropriate for us to be sharing it and to using it maybe for someone who isn't quite so flush, if you will, with things, or maybe just even food to eat or a roof to put over their head. Storing up treasure for themselves is a good foundation for the future. Be generous, ready to share, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. That's not the stuff of this world. Man does not live by bread alone, but from every word that falls from the mouth of the Lord. Attitude is everything. And ours as a servant of God would put us in that place where we consider what we have and how we can use it to serve our Lord and our Master by serving others.
Lastly, verses 20 and 21. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you. With just about 60 seconds left, Pastor, your thoughts on these last two verses here?
Guard the deposit entrusted to you, this gift of faith, this life in Christ. Don't get wrapped up in the ways of the world. The world is not our home. Heaven is our home, and our place is with God and His family. You've heard that phrase, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. It gets to the point for me where I remember, the greatest folly of God is wiser than the greatest wisdom of men. That's why we seek to Him as the author and perfecter of our faith. That's how we live a life in Christ, to be a part of His family, to seek and serve as He has served us. I don't know a better place to live or a better way to live.
Amen. Well, as Paul concludes this, grace be with you. What a great sentence to end on. Grace be with you. We have been studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Michael Wenzel from Trinity Lutheran Church in Olympia, Washington. Pastor Wenzel, thanks for being our guest this morning, helping us study 1 Timothy chapter 6.
Thanks for having me, and God's blessings to you and his family, all those people listening today and everyone else.
Thank you, thank you. God's blessings to you and all the saints at Trinity Lutheran Church in Olympia, Washington. Coming up in just a little bit, it is Witness Wednesday. We'll hear from Pastor Mark Wood from Witness and Outreach right here at the LCMS International Center. Stick around for more. His time coming up in just a little bit right after this short break on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.